the subject or thinking about the idea of being thankful and maybe some different situations to be thankful in. And I really enjoyed the scripture that God gave us last Wednesday night and then allowed us to kind of maybe expand on it a little bit this past Sunday morning. And man, what a great reason that we have to be thankful for all the wonderful things that God's done for us. But God's word also instructs us in some different ways to be thankful. And one verse of scripture I want to start with tonight, just to kind of get our mind in that area, is Psalms chapter number 69 and verse 30. And the Bible says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. You know, when we get to where we are giving God thanks, it does magnify him in our lives. And you know, that's just a really simple idea. I mean, you can think about a magnifying glass. And you can think, hey, something that I can't see really good. And then when you put that magnifying glass to it, all of a sudden it becomes bigger, brighter, and all of a sudden you're taking notice and you can see what's going on. Well, when we begin to be thankful for the things that God has done in our life, when we begin to return thanks unto him, he is magnified in our life. And then all of a sudden, something that maybe you felt like you was away from or something that maybe you didn't feel like God was right with you, you begin to be thankful and you begin to notice him and his works in your life. And I will assure you that he will be magnified in your life. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter number 5. We're going to read a few verses of scripture in Ephesians chapter number 5. I've got bookmarks all in my Bible here. And here we go. Ephesians chapter number 5. Let's begin reading with verse number 15. The Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. I like the way that this scripture goes, and it talks about that you're walking circumspectly. And again, Sunday morning, we touched on the fact that we walk the way that we walk, and we live for God because he deserves that because of what he's done in our life. And then as you continue on here in these verses of scripture, it says, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding of the will, what the will of the Lord is. You know, I think a very important part of understanding what the will of the Lord is in your life is being thankful for what he has done in your life. There has got to be an open communication between us and God. Now, I don't know about you, but there's a lot of times when I pray, I am always giving God my wish list. I'm giving him, hey, God, this is what I need in my life. God, I want you to move on this. God, I need. And it's kind of like I tell my kids, I think sometimes that my middle name must be I Want, because all the thing I hear is, Daddy, I want. I want, I want, I want. But you know what was really special to me is even sometimes, you know, my son being 16 years old, you know, and I talk about him a lot. And I don't know what I'd preach on without my family. But Silas will come to me sometimes and he'll say, hey, Dad, I just want to tell you thank you for so-and-so. Hey, at that very point in time, he could have anything in the world if I was able to get it. Just, it means so much for him just to stop and to recognize something that I've done for him. You know, I think God feels that way because there's a lot of parallels given in the Bible between God and us as our Father, as a father and son. So how do you think it makes God feel when we stop and we recognize him for what he's done in our life? When we just want to stop and say, God, I want to thank you. And maybe it's not anything much. The other day, I just took Silas hunting. We ran around like something crazy and didn't have a whole lot of time. And I said, hey, man, if you want to go, jump in the truck. Let's roll. And we went up the road and we went deer hunting. We got done. He said, hey, Dad, thank you for taking me hunting. Man, I didn't do anything much. I mean, the only thing I done is drove to Cana to take him up there to my dad's farm so we could go hunting. But for him just to stop and say, hey, thank you for that. You know, it doesn't have to be something just out of this world. And, you know, if you really want to think about it, just the simple fact that we got up this morning and under our own power was able to get out of bed, put our clothes on, and breathe the breath of life, that is huge. I mean, sometimes we look at it as it's not much or it's just routine or whatever, but I want you to know that it's just huge that we were able to get up on our own power this morning, get dressed, go to work, do your daily routine, whatever it is, and we need to stop and give God thanks. And I believe that when we do that, we will also begin to understand the will of God more in our life. We'll be able to see what God wants because that line of communication will be open. Verse number 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. When we get to the place that our focus during the day is to praise the Lord. Look, sometimes it's not going to be, I know here then when it says speaking to yourselves, it's also talking about exhorting one another and admonishing one another and lifting one another up. But sometimes you may truly have to speak to yourself. You may be the only person around that is in any bit in an interest of giving God thanks. I've been in places where I don't know if anybody else in the room knew that God was there or not. And I've been in places when I was wondering, is anybody think? I don't think it was humdrum and, man, this is terrible and this is awful. I can remember being a young man when I started to work at the shop down there where I'm at. I can remember times when maybe the economy would take a little bit of a downturn. And, I mean, Autumn and I were just starting out. I mean, and there were times that we didn't have $5 to our name. I was working every day, had bills coming. And those guys get in there and they get talking about, it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. And there's a time or two, I about stopped and bought me a new rope on the way to the house. But thank goodness I'm just kidding. I didn't think about it that far. But there was times that I'd get really, really depressed. And I'd get to thinking, oh my goodness, if it's this bad for these guys who got their own businesses and they're established, me and Autumn, we're never going to make it. We're going to starve to death. But you know, God was always there for us every single time. And you know what I'd have to do? Sometimes I'd have to stop and say, you know what, God? I'm not depending on the government and I'm not depending on the economy. I'm not depending on anything else, God. I'm depending on you and you've got me. So sometimes it is you have to speak to yourselves. My truck driver this week was driving down the road. One of my customers called and he said, I just saw your truck driver going down the road and he said, I think he's insane. And I said, what do you mean? He said he was talking to himself and just laughing and everything. Now, I didn't go talk to my truck driver and see what was going on. But sometimes I have a feeling people probably look in my vehicle and see the same thing because me and God are having a good time going down the road. I don't think that's what my truck driver was doing. I think he was on his AirPods talking on the phone. But at any rate, sometimes me and God just have to have a good time. And you know what that usually begins with? It usually doesn't begin with, God, I won't. That good time, that spirit-filled time that I have, just me and God alone, most of the time that begins with, God, thank you. God, I just want to tell you thank you. Not God, I won't, but God, thank you. Look, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we get to where we're at in verse number 20 and it says, giving thanks always for all things unto God, when we get to that place, it will be easier for us to speak to one another, to exhort one another, to lift one another up. And then in verse number 21, it says to submit yourselves one to another. When we get to where we submit ourselves one to another, when we're speaking to ourselves one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, I guarantee you your mood will change. I guarantee your outlook will change. The situation that your mind is in, it will change. Sometimes, look, I know that there's people who actually, they battle depression and different things in their life, and I understand that. But sometimes your bad mood, we're going to just talk about the bad mood. We're not going to talk about people who actually have who struggle with depression and stuff. But sometimes if you just are in a bad mood, or you're just feeling sorry for yourself, or you're just in a place that you're going, oh no, everything is terrible. If you will just get around with other people who are willing to lift up the name of Jesus Christ, you can be in control of your mood. Now, I'm not one of those people that just sits around and says, you just need to talk about how green the grass is and how beautiful the butterflies are. And you just name it and claim it and speak yourself into a wonderful place. But I want to tell you something. When you look into your heart, and you know what God's done for you, and you focus on those things in your life, I promise you it can change your mood. Verse number 20 is kind of what I want us to look at for just a few minutes tonight, because the Bible says, giving thanks always for all things. unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, even Sunday when we were talking about the reason that we walk the way that we walk, we talked about some wonderful things that God has done in our life. But even if we like it or not, the thing of it is that life is not always rosy. Life is not always easy. Life is not always just a walk in the park. And in verse number 20, the Bible says, giving thanks always. Yeah, for all things. No. It's hard sometimes to give thanks always for all things. There are things that come in my life that I think, how in the world am I supposed to give thanks for that? How in the world am I supposed to look at this and see that, man, this is going to be a great situation, or God, I'm just glad that this come my way. But that's not what it's saying here. There are some different ways that you can give thanks sometimes. There's sometimes that you can look and maybe you're not thankful for the situation that you're in, but you're thankful for the way that God has carried you through that situation. I may not be thankful for what I may have to face tomorrow, or what I may have to face next week, or what I may have to face in my near future. I may not be thankful for what I may have to face, but what I am thankful for is that God already knows what I've got to face. He's already there, and He's already prepared my way. That's what I can be thankful for. But as he says here, he says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give you a couple of verses of scripture here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse number 15. 2 Corinthians 9, verse number 15. I bet Shannon's then got it up. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Now, when you talk about giving thanks to God always in all things, this is what we like to think about. This is what we like to say, okay, God, I can give you thanks for your unspeakable gift. Well, what is unspeakable gift? Come on, feed it to me. Salvation, amen. The unspeakable gift, the gift that I am so unworthy of. I'm so thankful that God looked at me, and it's so easy, even no matter what's going on in my life, I can stop and say, God, thank you for salvation. God, thank you for loving me so much that you gave your son, Jesus Christ. I can stop and thank him no matter what's going on. And that's the things that we like to think about when we think about giving God thanks always in all things. We like to think about the way that he loves us and has mercy for us. Then in Jonah chapter number 2, verse number 9, I'm pretty sure I forgot to give this one to Shannon, and I'm sorry. But Jonah chapter number 2, verse number 9 and verse number 10, look, Jonah's in the belly of this whale, or this big fish, sorry. Didn't mean to get out of context with you. Jonah chapter number 2, verse number 9. The Bible says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Look, as you're looking at verse number 9, Jonah has spent time in the belly of this great fish. He knows that he was running from God and God's got his attention. Life has been miserable for him for just a few days as he's here. As you go back and you could read this scripture, even talks of comparing it to hell, living here in this big fish. But look what he does here in verse number 9. He turns it around and says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. He found a place of thanksgiving even in this terrible place in his life, even in this terrible time of his life, because he knew that salvation is of the Lord. And then look what happened in verse number 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. Ain't that amazing? He was thankful for being fish vomit. He said, Lord, I want to be thankful. I'm going to give the thanksgiving. I will pay thee that I have vowed. Salvation is the Lord. And the Lord said, okay, now you're fish vomit. Hey, did you ever think that being fish vomit would be a move up? It was a move up for Jonah. From where he was at, he was saying, Lord, thank you that I'm fish vomit. You know, sometimes we expect God to set us on a pedestal somewhere, and you'll hear this a lot in this day and time and in this new age movement that's come along, that, man, that God is just wanting to prosper you, and I know there's scripture to back that up, but I think we're taking some of that out of context. But here Jonah is, he's saying, man, I'm just thankful that I'm getting ready to be fish vomit. I'm thankful that I'm the salvation is of the Lord, and he is honoring God and giving God thanks because he is fixing to be fish vomit. The Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. Let's continue reading over in Matthew chapter number 15. It's easy to worship God when things are going your way and when things are looking up. But let's look in Matthew chapter number 15. We're going to start reading with verse number 29. The Bible says, "And Jesus departed thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them." I was telling Autumn just before we come to church tonight, I knew she wasn't going to get to come. We've got one at home not feeling very well, so I may be a little distant with y'all tonight because I haven't caught whatever it is that she has, but I don't want me to or y'all to, either one. So, but in verse number 30, I want you to look at this crowd. I was telling Autumn this is going to preach one day. I don't know exactly how, but I'll give y'all a little idea to think about here too. Matthew chapter number 15 and verse number 30, "And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them." Can you imagine this crowd that was following Jesus? Now look, sometimes we get this idea that, man, these people, that's what Jesus, they're supposed to be clean cut, and they're supposed to be just, we got a certain idea of what people are supposed to look at. But look at what these people were that were following Jesus. They came with them, they were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet. This wasn't the cream of the crop that was coming to find Jesus. But you want to know something? Their outside appearance, as far as what they had on and stuff, didn't change, but they were completely changed when Jesus finished his work with him right here in Matthew chapter number 15. Look, they came and they were maimed, they were lame, they were blind, they were dumb, and there was probably some people there in the crowd that was like, what are these people doing? What are they even doing here? But that was the ones that Jesus took the time and healed. And look at the difference in this crowd because Jesus showed up. Like I said, that's going to preach one day. I will let y'all chew on that a little bit. Maybe we'll preach on it one day. Verse number 31, "Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb speak and the maimed to be whole and the lame to walk and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way. And the disciples say unto him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great multitude?" Now listen, all of these people have come. They have followed Jesus. They're needing help from Jesus. He has healed them. They continue, look, the Bible says they have continued with him for 3 days and they have had nothing to eat. They are kind of in a bad situation. There's so many people, and the disciple says, where are we going to find this bread out here in the wilderness? How in the world are we going to feed? They're in a hopeless situation. They're in a place where the burden is bigger than they can handle. They're in a place of an impossible situation. They're in a place of no hope. There's no possible way that we can come up with enough to feed these people. And here Jesus is saying, but I want to feed all these people. They've been with me for 3 days. I've got compassion on them. And here's what I want to do. And the disciples are being very realistic. They're being very genuine. They're being very sincere. And they look and say, but Master, you don't understand. Jesus, you don't understand. Look at all these people. There's 4,000 people here. There's 4,000 men, not counting the women and children. And you expect us to feed them. How in the world can we feed these people out here in the wilderness? You know what? I think sometimes us being very realistic, us being very genuine, us being very concerned can get in the way of God wanting to do a miraculous work in our life. Because we look and we say, there's no way. It's not possible. There's no way that this can happen. This is a hopeless situation. There's no way there's going to be enough. And his disciples, I really believe that they were really trying to rack their brain and say, how can we do this? How can we do this? Verse number 33, "And the disciples saying to him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill a great multitude? And Jesus said unto them, how many loaves have ye?" Jesus already knew how many they had. "And they said, 7 and a few little fishes." He wanted them to realize how little they really had. He wanted them to realize how impossible this was. Verse number 35, "And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes," listen right here, "and gave thanks. They were in a possible situation. They were in a place of no hope. There was no possible way that what Jesus was wanting to do could happen. And look what Jesus did. He took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke them and gave to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up with the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. And they did eat and were 4,000 men beside women and children, and sent away the multitude and took ship and came to the coast of Magdala. Now look, he took these 7 loaves of bread and these few little fish that they had. He distributed them. They took up 7 baskets full afterwards, after everybody had eaten. What in the world? What kind of Thanksgiving dinner was that they just had? But look, I want you to notice where it started. It started, first of all, with the disciples saying there's no possible way. And then it was completed by Jesus giving thanks and distributing the food. You say, well, what preacher, what are you trying to say? Sometimes in our life, we look and we say, this is impossible. There's times in our life that we look and say, there's no way. The burden's too heavy. I'll just go on this path. My friends are too lost. I don't know what too lost is, but my friends are too lost. They're in too bad of a situation. Well, sometimes, look, I'm not trying to get on a tangent here or get into a place to, but sometimes I think instead of going to God and saying, God, this is what I need you to do. God, I need you. Maybe we could start with saying, let's pray for our lost. God, I just want to thank you that you love them enough to die for them. And I want to thank you that I know it's your will to save them. And God, I want to thank you for going and speaking to them. Sometimes I think, yeah, some of y'all are looking at me kind of weird tonight. Sometimes I think that we need to begin to thank God for things that he hasn't even done yet. We say, well, preacher, that don't make a whole lot of sense. Sure it does. Because God has told us a lot of what his will is in his word. See, the thing of it is we serve such a loving God that our God is not going to go and force them to be a Christian. He's not going to force them to choose him as their Savior. But what he has already done is give his life for them and promised you and I and them that he would give them an opportunity to be saved. I know it's without a doubt God's will for my loved ones and for your loved ones to be saved. I think sometimes that we just need to stop and say, God, I just want to thank you. I don't want to tell you what I need. I don't want to tell you what I want. But just as Jesus did here, he didn't say, God, here's what I need you to do. Here, God, I need you to take this bread and I need you to... And you say, well, yeah, but Jesus was God. He already knew that. Sure he did. But listen to this. Right before this, we just read about how the disciples watched him heal all of these people that were maimed, that were blind, that were lame, and then it come to eating a little bit of food and they doubted him. How many times has God already come through for you? How many times has he already come through for me in major situations in my life, and yet when a little something comes along, I go, oh, this is impossible. Instead of saying, God, I just want to thank you. I know you've got this. God, I want to thank you that I'm yours, and you've told me that you would never leave me, you would never forsake me, you wouldn't leave me wanting, you wouldn't leave me in a bad place. God, I just want to thank you, and I'm going to trust you in this situation. I think sometimes that we might could change, if nothing else, the way that we approach a situation. I've told y'all before that I'm the worry wart in my house. I am the one that gets concerned when things ain't going just right. I'm the one that I've told you several times before that I have spent time in my life worrying about things that never happen. Anybody else here done that? Just don't make me feel alone. Yeah, amen. I'm glad y'all with me. I have spent time just sitting and thinking, well, when this happens, what if this happens? What if and it never happened? And I've wasted how much time? I think I might have even shared this with you one time, but Autumn and I went to Clearwater, Florida about, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. The kids were with us, and we were driving our Nissan Armada down there at that time, and it had a little something with the brakes, and I didn't really know anything about it, but sometimes you'd hit the brakes and it would almost feel like the analog kicked in. It would kind of, you know, that's the way I talk to my mechanic too. It's going, he don't ever know what I'm talking about, but the brakes would kind of do that, and if you just stop somewhere and cut the vehicle off and cut it back on, it reset. But I was in the middle of traffic down in Tampa, Florida, and I reached and touched them brakes, and it done, and I mean, it scared me to death. I thought I'd done, it would stop, but it would just, I mean, it scared me. And I pulled over, and I cut it off, and I cut it back on. Well, I spent a week in Clearwater, Florida. Now listen, I can't fix a bicycle, much less something on a vehicle. But I spent a week in Florida on my phone researching brakes on a Nissan Armada. Just terrified. Just, oh no, wasn't worried. I made myself sick for the whole vacation thinking, what is this thing going to do on the way home? What's going to happen? We drove it home. We've drove it for years. I've given it to my brother and my sister-in-law for them to use right now. Everything's just fine. Over something that never happened, I ruined a whole vacation in my life. And for some of Autumn's life, too. I'm glad she's not here to amen me. But there's so many times that I've worried about stuff that never happened. Instead of just saying, you know what, God, you got me. Now, God don't want us to be dumb and take silly chances. But I do believe that sometimes God wants us just to trust him and say, God, I know you got this, and I thank you that you've got this. I try to do it on my own power too much. Here are the disciples. They said, there's no way. This is not going to happen. God, we just saw you, God, heal the lame. We just saw you make the dumb to talk. We just saw you give sight to the blind. But feeding all these people, there's no way you can do that. That's the way I do in my life. I dismiss a lot of times what God's already done. There's been times in my life when I thought there is absolutely no way, there's not enough, whether it be finances or whatever. I have said there's absolutely no way possible, and God has never let me down yet. I'm glad that sometimes he works even when my faith is not the strongest. I'm glad that he works even when I'm doubting him. The disciples here, they were kind of doubting, but Jesus showed them, didn't he? Fed all of those people, took up the basket of fragments and said, here, y'all do something with these leftovers. I don't know what you're going to do with this. Every time in my life, God has always come through. And they were, where did I go? Matthew chapter number 15. My page turned on me here. Matthew chapter number 15. Wow. Lord, help me here. And they did eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets full. And they did eat and were 4,000 men besides women and children. There's nothing that's too big for our God. There's nothing, no way. Sometimes we just need to stop and thank him for what he's done. You know, there's a song that I love the words to, and I can't sing, but I may try it here in a minute anyway. And today there's been several times when I just got in the truck by myself and kind of thinking about the scripture that I was going to be teaching on tonight. This little song right here, you know, the Bible talks a lot about songs and hymns. This little song right here has got me through so much. And y'all all know it. But the second verse of this song, it starts out and it says, well, I know that I'm not wealthy and these clothes, well, they're not new, and I don't have much money. My favorite part. But Lord, I have you, and to me that's all that matters. Though the world may not see, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. You know, when this world looks at us, and if we don't have a great big bank account and a great big house, I'm telling you, they look and say they're not successful. But if all that goes away, and when all that goes away, God will be the only thing that matters. Y'all sing it with me. Well, I know that I'm not wealthy, and these clothes, they're not new, and I don't have much money. But Lord, I have you, and to me that's all that matters. Though the world may not see, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Oh, there's a roof up above me, And I've a good place to sleep. There is food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. So thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. God, I want to thank you for all of your blessings that you've given me. God, help me to realize in all the situations in my life that you've already worked, not to doubt you when the next one comes up, but God, just to begin to give you thanks, begin to acknowledge you, and God, just to allow you to work in my life, and God, just to continue, God, to put my trust in you. God, thank you for everyone that's here tonight. God, I want to thank you for your spirit that's here with us. God, I want to thank you for just loving us so much, even when we doubt and sometimes we're unlovable, that God, you love us so much that you've always come through for us. God, you are a great God, and we want to thank you. We want to praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.